The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
In addition to taking care of one another inside the church, what if we developed a lifestyle of taking care of the most needy outside the walls of the church? How would that change the community and our city? Bob Moffitt, president and founder of Harvest Foundation in Phoenix, along with Pastor Julian Gibb, talk with pastors and leaders about how sacrificial love by those in the church to those in need outside the church has helped people see and embrace Jesus Christ. It's that demonstration of Jesus' greatest commandment that we'll hear more about today on The Kingdom and Its Stories.
Welcome to those of you who are listening and watching. We're delighted to welcome you to this edition of The Kingdom and Its Stories. And in this broadcast, podcast, videocast, whatever you happen to be watching or listening, we interview brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who are being Jesus' hands and feet. And it isn't for the purpose of lifting them up. The purpose is to give us inspiration of ideas of what Jesus might be calling us to do to be his hands and feet in our individual circumstances and lives. And today we have Tatiana, or Tanya, Machiavelli. Did I say that right, Tanya?
Yes, absolutely. Machiavelli.
Machiavelli. Okay, that almost sounds Italian.
It's Georgian.
it is. Okay, so yes. there's a Latin history to Georgia, isn't there? Yeah.
Absolutely. Greek.
Yeah. Oh, Greek. Okay. Greek. All right. Well, Tanya, we're delighted to have you with us. And I just want our listeners to know that Tanya is involved in, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's a multifaceted outreach in the Ukraine. And you are Ukrainian, right, Tanya, or are you not?
I am.
You are Ukrainian.
I'm Ukrainian.
Okay.
I was born in Ukraine. My parents are from Ukraine.
Okay. And it looks like we might have a little bit of a technical issue in terms of the internet. But Okay. Anyway, Tanya, before we talk about what you do and hear some stories about what you do, give us a brief thumbnail sketch of who Tanya Machiavelli is. Who are you? What was it how did God bring you to who you are?
Oh, wow. It's very interesting. As you said, I'm Ukrainian. I was born in Ukraine. Actually, I was born in Soviet Union times. Ukraine was part of Soviet Union at that time. I'm mother, and I'm a daughter, and I have a child who is 15 years old. Husband, he's from Georgian Republic, and I'm leading also a ministry here in Ukraine called Nehemiah Ministry, and I'm born again Christian. It happened in 1991 when Soviet Union just collapsed, and we had a group of Christians, Americans, first missionaries who came to Ukraine back when the Soviet Union just collapsed and these iron gates were opened for the first time.
And so, in what context?
And I love life, and I'm a Montessori teacher.
Okay.
And also my first occupation, my first profession, I'm an economist. So actually I'm in finance also. I used to teach at the university finances But then I changed my actually career and started to work with the children and became Montessorian.
Okay. But tell us, how did you meet Christ? I mean, were you a believer before the fall of the Soviet Union, or how did that happen?
I was not born again. I heard about Christ, and I live in first part of Ukraine, and we always celebrated Christmas and Easter with our grandparents.
Yes.
But it was like a nominal. We were singing carols. It was not allowed to go to the church during Soviet times. But as a family, we were always gathered together, and we always singing carols. Stories were not allowed to tell about Christ. And I knew that Christ was Son of God. And I knew that God is love. I knew all these things. I knew that we are sinners. I knew all these things. But I didn't know that Jesus Christ is actually God. And when Americans actually shared with me, you know, these two questions, if you will die today, and so do you know where you're going to be, and why God will let you into heaven? Yeah. You know, these two questions are like, really, how it will happen? Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know that God is love, but how can I do that? So, and then when they told me that Jesus Christ is God and he literally died, and only God can do that, no one else, and he is saved by faith, by grace, not by deed. So everything just came on its places. And the first day I just accepted Jesus, and this real joy came into my heart, and I became like an evangelist. Like with these Americans going on the streets. And there was a revival those days in our country, actually. Many young people became Christians. Many churches being born. And it was an amazing time. Miracles, healings, and so on. I witnessed that firsthand.
Wow. You were... I'm jealous. I wish I could have been a part of something like that. That's a great story. Thank you. So... how, after you became a believer, how did God work with you to develop the kind of vision that you have and the kind of work that you're doing now?
So God put me in connection with the amazing people, Christians, those who had vision for our country, actually not just for our country, for the kingdom of God. It was a kingdom vision, not church. Particular church, particular people, denomination, but actually kingdom vision. And this is it. First, I was it was my ministry as a translator for many missionaries who used to come to Ukraine and travel around former Soviet Union. And there was a particular group that was coming, and they did Bible schools. And it was Nehemiah team from Germany, and the founders were three men, like men of God, I would say. One was John McFarlane from Great Britain, another was from America, I forgot his name now, and another Hans Heidelberger from Germany. They are from Nuremberg area, and Nuremberg, you know, is known as in Germany the favorite city of Hitler. So they came, these three men came together, and they said, our city was like the curse for the whole world. Let's make our city known for the whole world as a and for special celebrations to the glory of God in their city, and did like a kingdom vision work for their city, for their communities, like churches, churches together. And then when this socialist bloc, Eastern European bloc was open, they started to do Bible schools in the Eastern European countries. And then when the Soviet Union also was open, they came here and like for our country. But here, our city, Uzhgorod, is right on the border with Slovakia, right on the border. So the first Bible school was in Mukachevo. And we had so many teachers, pastors coming from all over the world. And the vision was to teach 5,000 till the year 2000. It's like the in the Bible, you know, with the to feed multitude of 5,000 with the like fishes and several loaves of five.
Yeah, two but fish. But Tanya, how did that involvement of Bible school evolve to what you're doing today, which is, you know, working with in the situation and in the Ukraine with incredible outreach to refugees.
Yeah, it's like all these students who were in our Bible schools,
they
had their own vision, not just churches, not just evangelism, but we had some young people who wanted to work with their handicapped, disabled. Disabled kids with the disabilities.
Oh, okay.
So they started rehab centers, like special centers for disabled children. And now they had vision to work with the young people who had rehabilitation center with the different addictions. And now they had another vision. My vision was, and I always had in my mind, to work with the orphans and with the children.
Okay.
So, and that evolved. It was like I started to go to visit our state orphanages with my friends. And we used, there were many of them, state orphanages. One orphanage, for example, could hold 400 kids. Right now in our area, they all are closed. We don't have any state orphanages.
So what happened to the kids?
It's a foster care, and people started to adopt and started to take kids, like mostly Christian families, into foster care. They started to develop special, like we call it family orphanages, no more than 10 kids in one family can be.
Okay.
And it's a totally different environment. We call it deinstitutionalization. It's like closing institutions for kids and creating for them family environment, close to the family.
And there are families that take in up to 10 kids? Into their family?
Wow. In our area, we have about, in Transcarpathia region, for example, we have 100 families like that. And we are helping them. We have a network. We are training them. We work together with our local administration. And this work is all over Ukraine. And there is association Ukraine Without Orphans. We are part of that. And it's a churches, Christians, who are gathered together to fulfill the vision, like to meet the goal, that Ukraine would be without orphans. We understand that we will always have orphans, but they have to be raised up in the loving Christian family environment. That's our goal.
That's incredible. You know that it's like Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you, but that didn't change your goal. Your goal is to have a nation without orphans.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, there is a world without orphans, and it came from Ukraine vision, you know.
Right.
And the man who worked, like Ruslan Maluta and his friend, Andrei, he now lives at our center. He also fled from the war, and he's with us in the in our center, in my center.
Right.
And now we help those who are being rescued from the bombarded areas in Ukraine. So we are helping them.
You have 100 families like that, that you're working with and supporting?
In our area, it's in the peaceful time of peace. But now we have time of war. So we have many more families that our families actually receive them. Our foster families, they receive Christian families from the active war zones, because we are not active war zone. We praise the Lord, we don't have rockets and bombs in our city. So, and also we are sending them to different countries in the world, to different families who are able to accept them now. And we are helping them with the document, with the registration, and go through the border and finding this.
Yeah, let me take a station break here, Tanya, and explain to those who are watching and listening that you're listening to The Kingdom and Its Stories. And in our program, we interview people who are being Jesus' hands and feet in their context with the objective of helping us to explore in our own hearts how God might use us in our context to be Jesus' hands and feet. And today we're interviewing Tanya Machiavelli, who is the director of the Nehemiah Project in Eastern Ukraine. And
It's West Ukraine, sorry.
On the West. Right. Yeah, West, that's right. Yeah, And Tanya is the director of a group that is involved with so many families. Tanya, you told me yesterday how many families that Nehemiah is ministering to. How many would that be?
I lost the count of how many families, because I would say thousands now. They're in the different countries right now, and now we are trying to focus on big institutions that we have to move into safe places, institutions for the kids with the disabilities or young people with the disabilities that really are, it's so difficult to move them because of the logistics and transportation from these bombing areas abroad. And another, we are focusing on family with the kids with the disabilities. They still stay in these cities which are being bombed, and that's, but thousands of families, I would say, many. Every day we are sending about 150, 200 people abroad, but it's not just sending them abroad, but receiving them here and just placing them into the families, schools, kindergartens, preschools in our area. So in Transcarpathia, which is west part of Ukraine. Together, it's a network. I would not say that just our organization. We work together with the cities, with the communities, with the churches, with the people. It's like a big family, I would say. Like, okay. You know, in the Bible, they became real people, one people, like one nation under God, like you say in America. So that's what is going on right now here.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Tell us some stories of people that uh-huh. you're ministering to kind of put a human face on the logistics of what you've been telling us about.
Okay, today we sent three elderly lady to Germany, and they came to us 3 days ago. These three Christian elderly, I would say, prayer warriors. And since 24 February till the 13th of March, they've been under the bombing and shelling all the time. And one of them even couldn't go down to the shelter, a bomb shelter, because her knees are very sick. Like, you know, she can't walk and nothing. And she said, I'm just going to pray. She said, I was just laying in my bed next to the window, and it was dark. It was so dark. And it was like a big sphere, was coming onto me. I was just... She was saying, I would just present the presence of evil everywhere. And all the time, these bombing, shellings. And she said, I was just praying Psalms and everything what I knew. And God always protecting me. And then she said, I connected with other ladies from different churches, and we were just praying together. And when we pray, there was no bombing, no shellings. So she connected with me, and I have her testimony. So we connected through some church members who were in our place and then were sent to Germany. And I connected with her, they just sent connection to me and to her. And I helped her. There were volunteers came and took her out of that place and to other elderly people. So they helped them, put them into the car, and they were driving under the bombs and shellings. Through very difficult places. And they all were praying and all were singing to the Lord. And it was a miracle, they're telling. Like, bombs were falling everywhere, but didn't touch them. So, and for 3 or 4 days, they were coming to our place. So they came to our place, and it's amazing testimony. And they are now praying for Putin, for all the leaders, that they will repent, and for all our army, that we would be protected. They said, oh, God would lead them away, or they would repent, because it's inhuman, things that they are doing. So they are now, we are sending them to Germany, three of these prayer warriors.
Okay, so they came to you 3 days ago, and you arranged for them to go to Germany? I mean,
what? Church in Germany.
Through a church?
People of family, the family. Okay. In some German church, they are accepting them and will take care of them there.
Okay, and there is
coming to our place, and it's better that we would, like, our city is just 100,000 people, and we have, I think, about 300,000 in our city because of the... Yes. 200,000 refugees that we have. All, and every day they are coming and coming. So better for us to send them to the different places for short term until the war will end here. Okay. And we don't know also what can happen here. We don't know what in his mind, Putin and mind, because every day we have air raid sirens. Yesterday we had 5 times. So it was during the day, during the night. So... And it's,
well, I remember it's, yesterday when I was talking to you, you said that you should have been in the bomb shelter, but you weren't because you wanted you wanted to talk to me. So you risked your life to come out of the bomb shelter. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So, well, people who are coming from war, who were really on the bombs, they say, "Oh, it's nothing here." They don't pay attention, but. Actually, we have to pay attention because no one knows, you know, what can happen.
Right.
So, and our center is not far from the airport, and that the first target that actually Russian army has to hit the airports. So. Mm-hmm.
So, is your airport under attack now?
It's not, but we never know. We never know.
All right.
So we need air defense. I'm just telling, if somebody is listening to this radio program, or I don't know, this whole podcast. So if you have influence on your leaders, so let them know that they should not have any fear of Putin, of his nuclear kind of harassment toward the world. We, like, give us air defense system. We need it because we need it.
Tanya, we're
using from the Soviet times, this old system.
Tell us where you're feeding people, you're housing people, you're arranging transportation for people from Ukraine to other countries.
Yeah.
Where do the resources come from to do all of this?
From God, you know, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you.
So, and you found that to be true?
Yeah, churches from all over the world. And some people that I even didn't have connections for many years, they start to connect with us, send us money, send us finances. People just come, all Ukrainians just come and just give everything what they have. And everywhere, just it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable what is going on. If somebody wants to support us, we are open. We are open because we need it. Now, going to the East, people don't have food there anymore. Nothing. We try to send as more as we can to the East right now. We have these vans, buses coming to our place. We just fill them every day and send it to the East. To
okay, Tanya, if we have people listening, if they wanted to do something to participate with you and to help, how would they do that?
So we have, I'm part like Two Rivers Church from Gilbert, Arizona. They are supporting our ministry and especially me. I was there a year ago. So they can go to Two Rivers Church and send their support.
Gilbert, Arizona.
Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay.
That's one option. Another option, Seattle, Washington. It's actually Edmonds, Washington, Mission Dispatch.
Edmonds, Washington.
Yes, okay. You can be there. And Nehemiah Team Germany. It's in Germany.
Okay.
So these three connections abroad.
Right. Okay. Okay. Tanya, what encouragement or challenge would you give our listeners, our viewers?
Oh, challenge to pray for us and not to lose, how to say, not to be warm, to... not to be warm, lukewarm. So
not to be lukewarm.
Yes, have passion for the Lord and listen to God, what God is telling you nowadays. You know, I often watch Facebook. I'm using Facebook. And I see these pictures of Americans right now going to the sea somewhere, having nightlife. And it's like totally different world where we live now. So think about the people now die from hunger in Ukraine, in besieged cities. And they are Christians, your brothers and sisters. So
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you. We need not to be lukewarm. And it's so easy to be that in the United States. Thank you for not being lukewarm. Thank you for sharing your story with us. And my prayer is, and I know yours is too, that those who are listening will be inspired to not be lukewarm and to ask the Holy Spirit, Father, how can I be on fire for you? Tanya, thank you so much. God bless you. God protect you and your team, and use you in a powerful way to advance his kingdom. God bless.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus defines discipleship as come and follow me. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360, we'll hear another testimonial from a leader demonstrating how they and the people of the church are sacrificially loving the needy and beginning to see real change in their communities. If you have a personal example of how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Enter your story at harvestfoundation.org. That's harvestfoundation.org on the Contact Us tab. You can also subscribe to the podcast on The Kingdom and Its Stories on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.